You're amazing. Bless you. Thank you. Wow. It was fun. That was good. Wow. You know, we're talking about joy and things, and I'm excited about the gospel. I want to say something before we get started. I really have good news for you tonight. Thanks for coming. I don't know if you were here last night. If you weren't, that's fine. I'm glad you're here tonight. I have really good news for you. You can get to Romans, and we're going to get there in a little, but I want to say something to you. This gospel is so amazing, but it's imperative that you understand why the gospel is here. God's not here to just bless us. He didn't send Jesus so that you can be happy. He sent Jesus so that He could take the lie off of us and everything that we were born into through Adam and his failure and his mistake, and restore us back to what God intended from the beginning. So the whole purpose of the cross... See, the gospel sounds like a fairy tale. It sounds too good to be true, that God's going to love me no matter what I've done, and love me no matter where I've been, and never changes my... It just sounds... Because nobody's ever really treated us that way. And it sounds too good to be true, but there's a reason why the gospel's here. It's so that God could pay the price necessary to restore everything back to the way He intended from the beginning. Now, you've got to get that about the gospel. You've got to understand that this thing isn't about you just living, trying to live better, and Him blessing you and blessing your efforts. It's God restoring you back to truth and back to why He made man in the first place. Did anybody in this room ever think, like, why am I here? What's my purpose? What's life all about? What am I doing? Everybody's thought that at some point, at some level, right? Listen, God made us for His image, and God made us to shine the glory of who He is on the earth till the whole earth is filled with His glory. The reason man is on the planet, the reason man is here, God said, let us make man in our image, and in the likeness of God He made man. The reason man's feet are on the planet is because God said, I'm going to make them in my image. I'm going to manifest who I am in them and through them. I'm going to reproduce myself after my own kind in man, and they're going to multiply that truth through the earth. You've got to understand that this gospel is not just about you getting blessed. It's not just about you going to heaven someday. It's not just about you being forgiven. It's about you being restored back to the Father, back to His love, and back to His purpose. It's very important that you hear what I'm saying. It's foundational. Or you're just going to pray to God because you have needs. You're just going to cry out to God because you have needs. Those needs aren't getting met. Now you're frustrated. You're on edge. Now you're searching your Bible and you've reduced this book to a bunch of principles you're applying, hoping to get help. And now you're more confused and frustrated than ever before. Come on, this stuff happens to people all the time. They come to God for wrong reasons. And a lot of times, I don't know about you. I'm not reflecting on this house at all. My whole life growing up until I got saved, no one ever told me what I'm telling you right now. I'm just saying. No one ever told me why Jesus died on the cross. Everybody told me it's because I was a sinner. It's because I made mistakes. He had to pay the price to forgive me. Why? Why does He care about forgiving me? Why does He care about my name in a book of life? Why does He care that someday I'm in heaven? I didn't get it my whole life. It was a mystery. Love was a mystery. What, is God that lonely that He needs me for a friend? People say, Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. No, He died on the cross to redeem the value of your life and get you back to the reason God made you in the first place. It's not even about your sin. It's about your purpose, your value, your destiny, oneness with Him, light inside of you, truth flowing through you, making peace, showing mercy, loving people. And if that's not why you're a Christian, you're not going to do well in Christianity. I'm being real. My whole life, I heard the gospel preached that this man Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I understand that we find that in the Bible, but why? Why would he die to forgive me of my sins when he never did anything wrong? Why would he die for me when I haven't even known him? Because he's known me from the beginning. And he paid the price to put himself back inside of me so that I could live out what he made me for in the beginning. That means everything between that time and when he came into me, God wants to change. Everything I lived by needs to change. Everything I believed and spoke and was trained by is all subject to change. It's not that there wasn't any truth there, but he is the truth. So there's a transformation in my life through the gospel. The whole purpose of the cross is to transform you back into the image of who Christ is in us. The image of God. Because when you see him, you've already seen the... that same image of the Father wants to come inside of you and me. We've got to all understand this, that we've been trained by other things. We've been taught by other feelings, other emotions, other mentalities. Guys, be real with me. Our lives have been fashioned by the mind of the world, just society, just the spirit of this age. We were not taught by the Lord. Amen. Growing up, you were taught by life, friendships, society, the general tone. You were instructed by something other than the Spirit of God. And when Jesus comes, everything you were trained by has to be challenged and changed. You and I found ourselves through life and through one another. No wonder many of us weren't doing well. We were only as strong as the weakness around us. We were only doing as good as people were treating us. We were making everything around us matter and decide who we were. The more we hated it, the harder we got. The more we hated it, the angrier we got. The more we hated it, the more it drove us into whatever we weren't created to be. And all of a sudden we get our eyes on everything that doesn't matter the most. Are you guys with me? Man, I hope, because I feel like I'm preaching good. Come on, man. This stuff sets me free all the time. Keeps me, just not, doesn't set me free. I've been set free. But it keeps me free. It just keeps me free. You got to stir yourself up and stay fresh in the truth, or some other mentality is going to sneak in and eat your lunch. We're singing that at the table, at the table. He set a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He didn't honor the enemy enough to drive him out of the room. He just let me sit right in the presence of who the enemy is and flourish and shine. He didn't take injustice off the earth. He didn't take unfairness off the earth. He didn't take all that stuff away. He just set you in a place in him. It's a table in the presence of everything against the kingdom, and yet the kingdom's in you. You have to get a clear eye and know why the Spirit of God is in you. It's not just about you doing good and not using anymore and not this and that anymore. It's about you understanding that God made you with great intention to be one with you, live inside of you, have fellowship with you, and live through you. That's why men are on the earth. Anything less, you'll live apart from purpose and you'll live outside of grace. That's why people feel like they're drying up and dying inside, because they're living for something they're not created for. Yes. It's like putting metal in a microwave. It was not made for that. If you read the manufacturer's handbook of a microwave, it was not made to put metal in it. If you put metal in it, you'll destroy the product. If you read the manufacturer's handbook of humanity, humans were not made to live for themselves and make their own way and be their own God. If you live outside of your created value, of course you'll ruin and destroy the product. And yet God still has destiny set in place for you if you'll repent and change. Girl, that's really good. The manufacturer's handbook says that I was created for His image. And if I don't pursue His image, I'm pursuing something outside of the reason I'm here for. Jesus didn't come and say, if any man come after me, let him cry and say, I'm sorry. If any man come after me, let him pray a prayer to go to heaven. He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Why? You were never made for you. You were made for His image. You deny yourself, pick up your cross. You know what that means? Pick up, it's good that you're humble and honest because we don't teach this stuff enough. Picking up your cross means you taxi through life on fairness and justice and never let sin against you produce sin in you. You never come up with a reason for living less than Christ. You never justify the flesh. Jesus was totally pure, totally holy, totally innocent, didn't deserve a thing, and took the big hit for every man. He didn't ask you to die on the cross. He said, carry your cross. That means when He hung there, He didn't say, boy, these bunch of bums, we're going to get them good. Boy, they ticked me off, Father. I can't believe they did this to me after all the good I did for them. Boy, we're going to smote them good, God. God, can you believe they did this to me? Weren't they paying attention when I healed their sick and fed their thousands? What are they thinking, God? Man, if they didn't change by now, they ain't never going to change. I think you ought to get me off of here. He never let who men were and what men didn't see determine who He is and what He saw. He saw through the Father. He saw through truth. He was lifted up. He said, I'll draw all men unto me. He came into the darkness and shined as the light so we have something to follow. He gives us clear vision about life, about love, about motive, about purpose. Jesus is amazing. He is amazing. He never let men change Him. And to this day, He's still changing men. Amen. Do you get it? You say, well, yeah, but I wouldn't feel this way if they would. Why do we let everything that doesn't matter most decide the most who we are today? You're going to let the voice of man decide who you are when the voice of God has spoken through His Son. You're going to let an act of man rob your heart blind, harden you, rob your eyes when the act of God is already finished. We get our eyes on the wrong thing. It says if your eye is single and healthy, which is the lamp of your body, the eye is the deciding factor. Your perspective decides you. What you see and how you interpret is who you are. There's no way around it. It's scriptural. What you see, it's the lamp of the body. What you perceive is what you become. And if the eye is single, if the eye is healthy, the whole body is flooded with light. Doesn't say unless, of course, you're faced with many challenges and issues. If you see clear, you live clear. Unless, of course, your best friend just did you wrong. It doesn't say that.
Amen.
It says, if you see this thing for what it is, you'll live it for what it is. And grace will abound on your behalf. Come on, guys. Man, I'm preaching good. I feel it. I'm just cheering myself on in case you didn't realize I'm preaching good. Come on, the gospel brings life. Listen, if what you're thinking and what you're believing on an everyday basis isn't encouraging you and building you up and edifying your heart to live life in Him, you're not thinking in agreement with God. The voice you're obeying is not His. It's rationale. It's human reasoning. It's common sense. Rational wisdom. Look, if your thought pattern isn't encouraging your heart to move forward and grow up in Him, you're not hearing the right voice, if it's turning you inward, making you self-conscious, self-focused, self-centered, or focused on others, you're being deceived. Come on, if God lived that way, He would never send His Son for us. He'd be waiting for us to straighten out. But love made the first move. And He says, your move. Oh, man. Ah! Man, I believe this gospel. Get me the big pop.
One more time, Dan.
One
more time.
Spare me, brother. Merciful God. God's a God of mercy, David. I love to see Him in you. I just pulled the thing apart. I'm so pumped. I'm like, oh, oh, Jesus. Yeah. We're all right, brother. I feel all right. You okay? I'm good. I'm good. You all right? Good. Shouldn't it be fun when we gather together? Do you hear how straight and sharp and solid I'm talking, and we're laughing our way right through it? Amen. It's really good. You don't say anesthesia. That laughter. It's anesthesia. Come on, they give you anesthesia before a surgery. I didn't come in here to wield a sharp knife and let you feel all that pain. We're going to laugh our way right through circumcision. You're going to get a heart transplant, open heart surgery, and don't even know it. But you just laugh your way right through it. But something I'm saying is getting into you. It's going to bring conviction. It's going to bring change. Even if you don't want it, it's going to challenge your heart and mind and give you another voice to listen to rather than that one that's been leading. That's the power of Christianity. It's the kingdom of God, as if someone just scatters seed. Guess what I'm doing? I'm planting into your soul the voice of truth, the voice of God, and it's alive and active. And Holy Spirit forever has a voice in line of what I'm preaching. And you can't just live in the dark anymore. You go in that direction you're familiar with, and now you got something to attack that and go, wait a minute, yeah, but listen, look, bam, bam. And God can come to your rescue. You're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. If you sow a seed, that thing can come. You get it? That's why I'm always encouraged and excited when I travel to churches, because you just can't miss it. Even if people feel like you feel like they would resist you and wouldn't receive you, you got to preach the gospel, and it's alive.
Amen.
So there's just no way out. So if they're going to sit and face me and give me a mic, the gospel's coming. You get what I'm saying? You're going to sit beside me on an airplane and say, how are you doing? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say, I'm really glad you asked. You know, I'm doing quite amazing today. Really? In today's world? Yeah, let me tell you why. That sure beats being frustrated with flight schedules and mad at people for cutting line. And sure beats letting your heart be dictated by something else. We let a lot of things decide who we are and don't even realize we're doing it, because it's been that way all the time. Now that the gospel's come, there's one thing that ought to decide me. It's the truth of who He is in me. And why. You get caught up with that why thing, okay? It's a big deal. Why God sent His Son, understanding that as the church is huge in this hour. You ask most Christians why God sent His Son, they'll say, to pay the price to forgive us of our sins. And that's what we've sold to everyone, and everyone stops there. Okay, so why? People are in desperate trouble. We say, well, you need to turn to God. And then we give them the message and the sense that they need to turn to God so He can get them out of the mess. No, He wants to change their life. Listen, when Peter whacked off Malchus's ear in the garden, Jesus didn't pick up his ear in his need. That's a need. Your ear's on the ground. You had one a minute ago. Now you don't have one. Jesus didn't pick up his ear and use it as an evangelistic tool. Well, brother, see what your decisions got you into? Bad company corrupts good morals. You know, friend, there's a line you probably ought to cross. You know, you cross that line, perhaps God would restore a few things in your life. Come to Papa. And guess what you're doing? You're leading him to God for what God can do for him. And that's the motive then of his Christianity, instead of bringing him to God for the beauty of who God is. Because guess what? He never said a word to the man. He just fixed his ear and rebuked his disciple for acting like them. Jesus rebuked Peter for acting like them. And while he was rebuking Peter, he fixed the ear of the man that looked like an enemy. Because your war is never flesh and blood. Now you put yourself in Malchus' shoes. He has to have blood all over him. You cut the cartilage of the human body, it's crazy how it bleeds. You're just shaving and you get up around that node. And you got to get to church and you're running late and you just nick yourself right there and you can't even see the nick and you could get a Red Cross bag and give them a unit. Like it won't stop. And you got like 14 Kleenexes rolled up in the can with 50 dab marks. And they're all laying there piled up with dab marks. And it just, as soon as you take it away, teardrop of blood, teardrop. And if you don't wipe it, who knows what I'm talking about? It's true. Men, nick yourself right here. It's like you're going to bleed to death. Am I exaggerating this or does it just keep coming and coming and coming? He cut off his ear. Do you think there was blood all over his shirt? Do you think he was covered with blood? Jesus fixes his ear. You say, well, I don't believe that. I know unbelief is a problem in the church. Where that knife came from, brother. So now he fixes his ear. He doesn't look him in the eyes. The Bible doesn't say anything about communication or contact other than he put his ear back on or made him a new one. Whatever, either way, he made him whole. Theologically, you don't have to hash it out. It doesn't matter if he put his old ear on or put a new one on. He's the Lord and he made him whole. So no matter what he did, it's the same. And the whole time he's rebuking his disciple, put away your sword. Don't you know if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword? What's he saying to Peter? Peter, why are you fighting like them? You've been with me all this time. Everything changes now. I am in you. You're in me. We don't fight that way anymore. Stop it. And he heals the man that doesn't understand. He doesn't rebuke him. Heals it. Now watch. Put yourself in Malchus' shoes. After he does that, they bind him, start whacking him, and take him off to the high priest. Do you know that's true? They start whooping on him. They tie him up. They're mocking him. Now you're Malchus, you're following the crowd. Hey, just that man, put your ear back on and rebuke the man that cut it off. In everyday life, in every movie ever, Peter did right to stand up for Jesus, get in the way and whack his ear off. Should have took off his head. That's what he was trying for. Nobody's in the trimming ear business. When you swing a sword, you're not trying to clip his ear. Hello? Think about it. Malchus just got out of the way. He tried to cut his throat. He tried to cut his head off. He tried to kill the guy. He was defending what he loved the most as a man. And he jumped in front and whoo, shoop, oh, and Jesus stops it immediately. He doesn't say, way to go, Peter. Get him, guys. Help me, guys. Thomas, John, Philip, He stops it. He says, Peter, what? Am I not going to drink the cup? Would you think I'm not going to drink this cup that the Father's prepared for me? He wants to drink the cup of wrath. He wants to drink the cup of the penalty that's owed to flesh and man. So he became flesh and man. Yet without sin, perfect sacrifice, fulfilled the law of righteousness, holy, blameless. But as a man, God thumped the devil. He stood there in unconditional, unfazed love, fixed Malchus, rebuked Peter in love, and then they start whacking him, they tie him up, and they lead him to death. And now Malchus is following, and he's like, just imagine every time they're thumping him, Malchus is like, you see, you're speculating. I am convinced we'll see Malchus in everlasting life. You can't run from that kind of love. They take him and then they send him to Pilate and all this is going on and they're lying about him. And all Malchus knows is his buddy tried to kill me. He rebuked him and fixed me. And how he did it, I don't know. Can you imagine people walking up to him? What happened to you? Blood's got to be everywhere. Are you okay? Yeah. What we've learned in the church is take the man's need and use it as the tool to get him to God. God's idea from the beginning was take his love, take it to man, and turn his heart to God. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Not the reprimand of God or the need of man. It's the goodness of God that changes everything. You guys with me?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Be honest with me. We've allowed our hearts to get hurt, get hard. We've allowed the world and the age to teach us what's cool, what's in, what's out, what's accepted, what's not. Some of us that don't like that just come up with our own ideas and start our own little group. Come on. There's a reason behind a lot of things we do. Look, I could care less what color your hair is. I could care less about tattoos, piercings, all that stuff. I don't preach about any of that. I could care less what all that stuff is. But what I care about is why. Why did we do the things we did in our life? See, I worked with this guy that had purple hair and a mohawk. I could care less. Man, I like purple. That young lady, she's got pink hair. I talked to her today. I have no trouble with her pink hair. I think she's a cute young lady. I don't mind. I would never judge her hair being pink. And I wouldn't judge Robbie's hair for being purple in a mohawk. But he ran from me all the time. He didn't like my Christian church. I was a coworker. And if you work with me, you'll know I'm a Christian. Not because I preach at you. Because I love you and I live Jesus. I don't complain. I don't bicker. My attitude is way different from people that don't know God. If you work with me for 2 years, you would never hear me complain. Because if you complain, you open your life up to the destroyer and the devourer. Because every time you complain, you reveal to him that it's really about you and how you feel and what you prefer. And all of a sudden, you're a sitting duck and a target for adversity. Every time you complain, you're letting him know you got a lot of feelings and it's all about you.
Wow.
Oh, I'm preaching it.
Awesome.
Come on. He said it's God in Philippians 2. It's God. It's God. It's God who works in you, both to will and do for his good pleasure. Not yours. His will be done. He says, therefore, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And it says, do all things. How many things?
All.
Without grumbling or complaining. You get your eyes off of Jesus and get your eyes on people, you've got 1,000 complaints. And you're revealing that you don't understand him enough, you're letting everything else decide who you are. And it doesn't even mean that what you're saying isn't right, but it's not the truth that makes you free. Being right doesn't make it right. Am I too close? Just talk to me, man. You're not a distraction.
Stay in the light. Because you're in the light.
Stay in the light. I almost thought I walked off into darkness or something. I was like, actually, it's better up there because it's so bright back here, brother. Okay. No, thanks, man. Hey, from now on in the future, man, just wave for me back there and tell me what to do, buddy. Just, hey, Dan, back up a couple feet. You're making it tough on me. And I'll be all right. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Why would I live that way? So you're seen as a harmless, innocent person in the midst of a twisted up world. Yeah. Means twisted up mindsets. He's not putting people down. The way they're thinking is twisted. Come on. Do all things without grumbling. So I'm at work. Robbie's bothered by me. Because I'm obviously in love with Jesus. I didn't understand why he was bothered by me. There's a lot of people angry at God. Some people lost a loved one when they were little. They were a child and their mom died early. And they say, why did God let her die? Makes sense to men. The way that seems right to a man. You can justify it and everything, but it produces death. So you know it can't be truth because there's no life in what you're thinking. When you're just mad at God, it cuts your heart off from him. It cuts your heart off from receiving from him. It makes you higher than him. You're expecting him to change and measure up to what you need him to be. It makes you God, and he's the subject. I'm just saying, man. So I heard that Robbie had the flu and he was going to leave work early, and I care about that. And I thought, man, I'd love to be able to pray for him. That boy runs from me all the time. And, you know, I got my shirt on like, Jesus loves you. And he's like, wow. And he just avoids me. There's a few people that used to do that to me. I didn't preach at nobody. I just lived a certain way. Isn't that fun? Because you live a certain way, they ask you questions. And then you preach. I turned the aisle and I'm coming up the aisle and I'm pulling an order. And there he is in the middle of the aisle. And he's heading that way. And I went, God, this is amazing. There he is. Got his purple right up mohawk. And I'm working. I have an order that's covering a whole bunch of space. He's got one of these orders that the whole thing's in like two aisles. So I'm catching him fast. I'm like, I'm going to catch him. I thought, this is amazing, God. He's at his equipment. He's working. He can't get away. So I, hey, guys, how y'all doing? Good? Good. He's rolling up the aisle. I swung up there. I'm teaching him motives. I'm teaching people do things for reasons. From the beginning of the time you were born, there was a strategy set against you to get you to think wrong and be sure you do. Yeah. To make sure you're never fruitful, to make sure you never prosper, to cut off your heart, to cut off your destiny, and to cut off your purpose. Are you following me? I'm sorry, man. I feel so far away from it. I'm a personal guy. I'm so sorry. You should have put them lights back further. I'm just kidding you, man. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it on purpose. I feel good when I get close to people. I'm not even getting as close as I want. If you put a piece of tape there, I'll obey it. I'll know it. It'll be like a shock collar thing. It'll be like, the judgment of the Lord. Because you could do it to me, man. You put the tape and say, if you cross that line. So imagine the shoes I'm in. I'm in amazing shoes because I get to love this kid who doesn't even know me, who's avoiding me, and I don't even know why. And I go by him and I said, hey, man, I heard you weren't feeling good. He said, yeah, I got that flu thing going around and it's really hurting me. I'm going to finish this order and get out of here. I hope I can get it done. And I said, listen, man, I know you seem to feel uncomfortable around me and you just avoid me. and you seem troubled by my t-shirts. And I was going to ask to pray for him, for the flu. And while I opened up conversation with him, God shows me why his hair is purple.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was a good learning thing for me. I realized we're being pottered and dictated by things all around us. When he's the great potter, there's other things deciding who we are. We're a product of the way life's been and how we've processed it. If you don't know Jesus, and even if you know Jesus but don't understand him this way, you could be a Christian and still be dictated by everything around you and how you process it. And then the why behind your life is dictated by that thing instead of him. Because watch this. I said, I know why your hair's purple. Oh my goodness. I said, dude, I don't have anything against purple. And I don't have anything against you having a purple mohawk, but I know why you did it. He said, what are you talking about? I said, you're mad at your mom and you know it breaks her heart. You knew this was a way to crush her. It's just one of the things you're doing to get even with your mother because you resent her because she trashed you and smashed you with the Bible all the time saying, you're working for the devil. Well, God saw that. Well, you need to work for God. Well, you're going straight to hell, boy. Well, you need to clean up your act. And you weren't even seeing Jesus in her, but she was trying to tell you you needed to be like Jesus. And you are furious at your mother, and you knew this was almost a straw that broke her. And he's like trembling and says, how can you possibly know that about me? I said, Jesus knows everything. I didn't say, well, I'm quite prophetic, thank you. No, that would make me quite pathetic. I just looked at him and I said, Jesus knows everything, sir. And he lives inside of me. And he happens to love you. And he wants your heart healed. And he's just freaking out. He just can't believe that I know. I said, dude, you don't even like purple. And he's like, there he is with a purple mohawk. I'm not bashing a mohawk and I'm not bashing purple hair. The only reason he did it is because his heart got hard towards his mother. It's not because he liked the hairstyle and liked the color. He was making a statement of anger and frustration with intent to destroy a heart he was mad at. Talk about being pottered. So he starts crying. It's a good thing. I said, I got to pray for you, man. The flu's coming out of you. Do you hear me? He's like, okay. So I came over real gentle. Fire of God. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. I came over. I just took his hand real gentle and I just prayed real gentle with him. And you know what happened? The sweet presence of Jesus came over that boy and held him. And he just went. He just froze. All them symptoms left him. He never left work. And I had to shake him out of it because there's forklifts zooming. And I said, hey, hey. And when he came to, it was like he was gone for a second. He went, neat. 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 I'm like, neat. He's like, neat. Whatever he was experiencing was neat. And I said, listen, we go to lunch soon. I'll catch you in the lunchroom. We can talk some more. He said, awesome. I worked with another guy who was the same way, and we got talking, and he broke down and cried because he was raised in some kind of Christian boot camp type thing. And they were drilling Jesus into his brain or something. And he was just locked and shut down against Jesus. Because Jesus was misrepresented.
That's right.
So you get your eyes on people. Let that define God. And that's a lonely place. Man. And yet, the good news is the blood was already shed for you, and Jesus is speaking better things through his blood, and he's waiting for you to turn to him, look to him, and let him become your identity.
Yes.
Not so you have a hard heart towards men and a soft heart towards men. Well, hey, I don't need men. I got Jesus. No, if you really got Jesus, you see the value of men.
Yes.
It's actually impossible to have this To really have this and not have this. The whole reason for this is this. Because you can have knowledge of every mystery, all mysteries, faith to move every mountain. And if you don't have love, you've missed the whole point. Trouble is, in today's church, if you have knowledge of all mysteries, you're being thronged for a word and impartation. And if you can move every mountain, every need's in front of you, and you're a man of the hour, and you're the keynote speaker at the World Conference because you're the closest thing to Jesus anybody's ever saw. But if you don't have love, you've missed it all. We've learned to draw to the manifestation instead of the heart of God. We seem to think it's okay to have the knowledge of all mysteries and have unforgiveness or anger or frustration, because we all do, you know. You're wrong. We don't all do. And neither does Jesus. And we're following Him, not one another. He's our standard, not one another. Well, everybody else is. Well, stop. What about Jesus? Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
I really have good news. I think I already shared some. But that was my introduction. I just started on a little point and that's where I went. Never got to Romans yet, so I guess that's my introduction. I don't have introductions because I don't preach sermons. I just pour out my heart. These are living room chats for me. They're like just family chats. What we do is family chats. But you're hearing, I know you're getting something out of this. Come on, guys. The reason mercy woke you and me up today is to give you another day to be like Him. It's not so you could have your dreams fulfilled and people treat you right and everything go your way and get a promotion and make more money. And the reason mercy woke you up today is to give you another day to be like Him. If you miss that point, you'll miss the grace of God for your life. If you're a Christian for any other reason, you're going to be a frustrated person that goes to church. I said it last night and it got quiet in here. I said there's a lot of discouraged people that go to church and it's not scriptural. It means we're drawing our encouragement from other things instead of the truth that's in Him. And somehow we've gained the idea along the way that we're a Christian for what God can do for us instead of a Christian for how He can make me more like Him.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how much you're not like Him if you're not. It matters that I pursue being like Him. That's what matters where I'm concerned. Where you're concerned, that should matter. And man, wouldn't that make it awesome? If I say, well, everybody else isn't like Him, what's it have to do with me? I'm still going to have to stand before Jesus and answer to Him what I've done with Him.
Amen.
And if you think on that day, you're going to look into His fiery eyes of amazing love and the light of unsearchable wisdom and go, you know, I'd have believed in you if it wasn't for my spouse. You know, I'd have really followed you if it wasn't for, why did you let him do that to me anyway, Lord? You ain't going to be able to think that stuff. So why would you let it buy you now? Come on. Every person on this planet has to answer someday what they've done with this Jesus. And if you think you're going to have a talk show with the Lord and talk about what everybody else has done to you, He's going to say, but what have I done for you? Why did you let what everybody's done to you trump what I've done for you? Because that's the truth about you. Why did you let them matter more than me? Oh, I'm preaching straight to you. Because if you don't get this, man, you're going to have 3, 10, and maybe 30 reasons on your list why you're not where you should be. And none of those reasons are Lord, so why are they governing your life? My wife doesn't have to treat me right for me to be okay. And neither do you. I'd like you to. It would be profitable for the kingdom and for the family of God if we'd all walk like Jesus. My joy, my faithfulness to Him, my surrender has nothing to do with your performance, your attitude towards me, or how you treat me. It has to do with the unfailing love of God. And if I'll stay in that place, I'll see you through His eyes and we'll get along just fine. You following me?
Yeah, I'm preaching good, man. So you want some good news or better news?
Because what I just told you is true, because God has this destiny for every one of us, He sent His Son in due time. And Jesus carried His cross to the hill, laid on it, and they tacked Him to it and lifted Him up. And He paid what no man could pay to take every lie off of us to adorn us once again in truth. Come on, He was beat beyond description so you and I could get our identity back and our appearance back. When they were done beating Jesus, He's unrecognizable. You couldn't even tell who He was. The Bible teaches that in Isaiah 52. Why did Jesus get beat beyond description? Because when sin got done with man in the garden, He didn't look anything like He was created to be. So Jesus came and lost His appearance because we had lost ours, to pay the price for us to get our identity back and look like sons and daughters again. And if we reduce this gospel to a prayer that takes me to heaven someday, we'll miss the whole point of why it came. Came to restore me back to truth. Came to make all things new. He came to take away the old, everything that was in my life before Him, and put on the new. He came to make me a new creation.
Yeah? Yes.
So that I could behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and begin to be transformed into that same image even by His Spirit.
It's good news. Sarah, it's awesome.
If you let any other thing decide your value, any other thing decide how you feel, anything other than what I'm preaching to you decide your worth, it'll put a veil over you. You won't have intimacy. You'll pray to Him from afar, and you'll keep living in whatever you've been living. I'm just being real. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Let's get the understanding and stop destruction. Let's stop saying, why is God letting all this happen? Amen. Let's get understanding. Amen. In all you're getting, get understanding. If you can't teach this thing clear, be humble. You probably don't see it clear. If you don't see it clear, you're probably not walking in the light of this truth. So let's keep growing up into Him in all things and stay humble and teachable. Slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to listen. How have we lived our whole lives? Almost everybody in this room. Quick to have an attitude, quick to be emotions, quick to be passionate, not listening at all, and a lot to say. Be honest, most of us, our whole life, real short fuse, don't want to hear it. Let me tell you what I think. That's how most of us, all of us, I was that way big time. We almost all live that way, guys. Quick to speak, don't want to hear it, and I'm ticked off. And the Bible says, slow to anger, slow to speak, quick to listen. Isn't it amazing we were trained in the total opposite? You were trained not to get your hopes up. Bible says, get your hopes sky high. You were trained in what you see is what you get. Bible says what you see is never what you set your heart on or your faith on, subject to change. What is unseen is eternal. You were trained your whole life. What you don't know won't hurt you. And what you don't know is destroying you. Everything I'm quoting is 180 degree perverted and twisted. Why? Because when Adam ate the tree, truth
moved off of him, and the lie overtook him, and he didn't just sin, he took on the nature of God's enemy. And ever since that day, every man was born into that lie, and we must be born again. Somehow we turned that into a prayer to go to heaven instead of a transformation of life. That's the highlight of my night. Don't you stop them, please, Mama. That, look at that. That's Jesus right there. That's innocence. That's selflessness. That's no self-consciousness. That's total purity right there. They ain't nothing about CNN that's eating their lunch. There ain't nothing about their neighbor. They ain't nothing. They might not even know each other. They might have just met. They just met. And they value one another. And they're smiling to one another. And they just met. They ain't like defensive. And I don't know what you all about. Well, I need time to figure you out. Well, come on, you just can watch them right now. And nobody would need to preach. And unless you become like a little child. Not a medium child, a little child. Why? Because your innocence is a target of the enemy from the time you're born. He wants to strip you of your innocence and break your heart and get you to not be able to trust and value people and hurt your little heart when you're really young. It's a strategy on the earth to twist you and keep you from ever being able to receive the good news so that when it finally comes, you can't even hear it, don't even want to hear it. Because I got issues. No, you have destiny. And it's waiting for you. You just look at them kids, man. That's amazing. Yeah. I'm happy. Okay. I'm going to look at two things quick and we'll try to wrap this up. No, you said that. You told someone to say that to me, brother. Hey, I know. Now you be a man of God and be honest. You told somebody to tell me that. I preached till after 10 o'clock. Last night. That's a long time. You guys worship till 8:30. Hi, beautiful. Yeah, I see him. Is he your new friend? Hi, buddy. You're awesome. Yeah. This is how I did my Sunday night services for 8 years. I told the parents, you bring your kids and just let them be. I would be preaching and a child that age would come up and hug my leg and lay their head against my leg and take off running while I was preaching. Sometimes they would come and just go, and I would pick them up and preach for 10 minutes and they would just be holding on to me. I'll just let them back down. They're children. We're so thin-skinned sometimes, we're like, why don't you get a control of your child? Well, they're bothering me. We probably better grow up a little in Jesus. It's funny, did you ever get on an airplane? We were all children once. We all needed a bottle once. We were all, wah! Some of us are older and, wah! And I'm just being real, man. And a mama's on the airplane stressed out because her baby sighed. Shh. And people, there's a baby on the plane. God forbid it. Go, wah, wah. Did you ever see parents? Do you ever fly? Parents are like, oh no. No wonder the baby's crying. It's like, it's crazy. It's like you get on a plane and human beings have no tolerance for a baby noise. Baby noise. I paid for this ticket. I didn't pay to hear a crying baby. Just the way we've become, just scary to me. Wow. So good. See,
You know how we grew up with this phrase? Well, that just gets on my nerves. Well, you know, well, yeah, I met them, but I don't know. They just have a way of getting under my skin. Do you ever hear these people talk like this? Did you ever talk like this? Well, they just bother me. Well, they don't bother God. He sent his son for them. He's seeing something more than you're fixed on. Here's the deal. It's not about them getting under your skin. It's about you and me getting new skin. Yeah. Come on, man. So, well, they just get on my nerves. Get a new nervous system. Could you see Jesus and God on the throne and at the right hand? Jesus, did you see that? Are you kidding me? You know they know better. It's like they just make me so mad. Yeah, Father, I was wondering why I went ahead and even shed my blood for that. Maybe we should have thought this thing through. When I put those words in God's mouth, it sounds foolish. That's why people giggle. Ought to sound just as foolish in yours and mine. We're made for his image. God didn't teach us to talk that way or think that way. The fall of man did. So watch this. The only thing Jesus is asking you and me to give up is what we never were anyway. The only thing he's asking you to surrender is what you were never created to be. Why is that so hard? Because of the stronghold of selfishness, because we've grown up and learned to fend for ourselves, justify ourselves, defend ourselves, survive, reputation, me, myself, and I. And the fact that it was all about you from the time you can remember is what made you so vulnerable. It's what hurt you so bad. It's what broke some folks, and it's what made some rock hard. Because it was all about you. When in the beginning it was all about him in you. The day you eat the tree, Adam, is the day you surely die. Guys, he didn't fall over dead. Every Christian says, well, his spirit died. What's that mean? Here's what died, his created value and his identity and his destiny, except it didn't die in unfailing love. God never changed his mind. What happened was he lost sight of who he was. When he ate the tree, he separated himself from truth, which makes you free, and he went into the bondage of himself. So every man was born into that lie. Watch, if God made Adam in his image, then Adam was made to love. I was made for, you guys tried to work that yesterday, you just missed some of the lyrics, right? That's what you said. I was made for, 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 I was made for love. See, they sing all them I was made for's before you get to the punchline just to get it in you. I was made for what? I was made for what? I was made. For love. Now watch. Every man was made to love, but when the fall came, that got perverted, so every man was born into the desperate need of being loved. Love is what was lost through sin. When man got cut off from the source of love, he became loveless. Became needy. He wasn't fulfilled. He was empty. So watch this. You and me, from the time we were born, all we can remember is thinking for ourselves, how that made me feel, how that hurt me, how that broke me. We needed honor, acceptance, to fit in, not to be rejected, tried to be cool, sometimes live at the expense of someone, to get the favor of someone, whatever it took to get by and get through and prove that I was somebody. Why? Because when man ate the tree, he lost who he was. So man's been in an identity crisis searching for himself since that day. And Jesus came and said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. We've preached him with a club and people resent him. We've preached him in legalism. People resent him. We've preached him in hypocrisy and people resent him. But it's still good news. You guys with me? I didn't knock this over all night. See, I wasn't made for that. I was made for love. I wasn't made for that. I was made for love. That thing looks ugly from the front too, man. Done. We were sitting there. I said, look at that thing, man. I said, look at that thing. Well, when I got behind it, I was like, dearly beloved. I just felt changed. I was like, could we please turn our Bibles to? I just felt changed. Something came over me, man. Don't you? I did, man. I got behind there and I was like, I was made for love. Look at Romans chapter 1, would you, real quick? You guys doing good? This making sense to your heart? Here's the good thing about it. You're the steward of your own heart. The freedom you have is to decide what you're going to do with truth and be sure that nobody else decides that for you. You become a steward of your own heart and you take what God's been investing in you, you take it to Him, you receive it, you believe it, and you let grace start working that thing into your life. So one of the best ways you can respond to a night like this or a weekend like this that's focused on Freedom Fest and how God sees you and what you become through Christ is you getting alone with God the first chance you can and just, Father, I'm so excited that you see me this way. I believe this. You made me for your image. I've pursued a lot of other things, God. I let so many other things matter, and what people say have mattered so much. God, I've been touchy. I've been vulnerable. I've been hurt by people. Man, I just lay it all aside. And I'm realizing that you made me for your image, and your image is love, and you're the one that fulfills me, satisfies me, and from this place, I'm going to begin to live, Lord, and I thank you for the grace every day to walk this out. Thank you for changing my view of my life and ultimately others. You could start just that simple. You just leave here tonight with that kind of prayer in your heart. See, because anytime you release faith in the truth to God, grace comes to make that truth your reality. So you didn't bite your lip to be a better Christian. You just believed the gospel. Then all glory goes to God. You're not a super Christian. You're a believer.
Did you get it?
Yeah. What you doing?
It's a whole sermon behind me.
Romans 1 verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to what? Salvation. That's soteria. That's healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, kept safe and sound. The power of the gospel. Christ is the power of God, right? The gospel of Christ is the power of God to me being restored. It's the power of God of me being restored, redeemed, and made whole and brought back to original value. That's what it's saying. So we have to understand this gospel of Christ. It's good news. Gospel means good news. So it says, for the first the Jew and then the Greek. And then it says, for in it. What's in it mean? For in the gospel. So don't read fast. Understand what it's saying. The gospel of Christ is the power of God. The gospel of Christ is what's designed to bring men back to the beginning, back to truth, back to who they really are. For in this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. It's made known. It's manifest from faith to faith. For as it's written, the just shall live by faith. So what is it imperative for you and me to believe about the gospel to release the power of God that changes me and restores me back to the beginning? I have to believe the righteousness of God. That means the judgment from God towards me. You say judgment? Yeah. The righteous judgment through the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice of Christ. Look, He was tacked to a tree. You got a cross anywhere hanging around here? Just picture a cross. Watch this. We just make one. Just picture. There's one on that picture. I knew there was a cross back there. Every church has a cross back there somewhere. But anyhow,
There's a cross on that picture, okay? So watch this. Jesus was put on that cross. What happened to Jesus on the cross? You say, well, he was cursed. No, he wasn't. He was made to be sin. And God cursed sin in the flesh. And sin shall have no dominion over you. You say, no, he was made to be a curse. He was made to be sin. Anything hanging on a tree has been cursed by God. What was he made to be? He who knew no sin was made to be sin so that we could become right in the sight of God. This one sacrifice through Jesus Christ allowed you and me to be stripped from the old man, the old actions, the old sin, the old way of thinking, and immediately upon reception of it through understanding with a pure heart say, wow, thank you. And all of a sudden you become what he is because he became what you were. God cursed what was killing us. He cursed sin. He didn't curse his son. He raised his son according to the spirit of holiness. His son was a lamb without spot or blemish. His blood was pure and holy. He never sinned, guys. God didn't curse his son on the cross. He cursed sin in the flesh. What's that? I didn't get you.
Can you say why that's important?
Why that's important? So that you separate yourself from the identity of sin and see that your life is more than sin. That's where I was heading there. I'm going to show you that. In other words, he cursed sin in the flesh. Sin shall have no dominion over you, right? Here's the biggest mistake we make as a church. We think our ability to sin identifies us as sinners. So then, because we're sincere, we try harder to change. And because we're trying harder to change, we're aware of the areas we don't change and we're condemned by them and we feel like there's always something wrong. And we remain sin conscious even though he became sin for us. Come on, I just laid that thing out and you know that happens to folks. I've never tried to change myself in 20 years. Jesus has been so merciful to me and he gives me a mic and lets me teach this stuff out. I have never woke up one single morning of my Christian life and tried not to sin. Never even thought about it. I never woke up and tried to be good. I never woke up and tried to live the Christian life. What is that? I woke up to be his. I woke up accepted, clean, holy, and right in his sight. For 20 years, I've woke up a son already established in him. I didn't wake up to try to be anything. I woke up to be what he made me to be. I woke up to be his every morning for 20 years. Never one time tried to not sin. If you're trying not to sin, you're sin conscious. If you're enjoying being his, you'll be righteous conscious. It'll begin to produce its fruit to holiness. And if you do sin, you'll run to him because your conscience will violate you because it's sensitive. And you're realizing that is not in my heart. That's not who I'm created to be. And it's not what I want in my life. Father, thank you that you love me. If you don't get established in the truth, when you stumble, you'll get condemned by it and think you're failing. And you become a failure. The tree's marked and the fruit will never look good. Are you guys with me? They're excited. No, they're pumped. This is good news. That it's, yeah! You should be feeling that, man. This is, yeah! This is how it makes me. I am so pumped by this. People talk to me in public. I sit on airplanes all the time, and I get talking to people. I can't calm down. I try. I can communicate. Even though you see I'm excited, I'm making a lot of sense. Like, so I don't talk in riddles, and I'm not just a butterfly floating upon the earth, you know, fluttering from flower to flower. Life is a joy. I don't think I come across that way. But you can see that I'm extremely passionate, full of joy. I try to calm that thing down in me just to communicate on airplanes so I don't freak people out. And I think I'm doing good, and apparently I'm not doing good at all. Because I talk for about 2 minutes and they go, whoa, man, you're really intense. And I'm like, what does it show? Does it show? I'm like, man, I'm trying to actually, I'm like 10 times more zzz on the inside than you're probably seeing. Why?
It's good tidings of great joy. So if you're trying to look for joy, look for the good tidings. The good tidings is the great joy. It's not a spirit of joy. It's not a moment of joy. It's good tidings of great joy. The good tidings is the joy of my life. I was born to be His. I was born to be in His image. I was born for Him to be in me. I was born for Him to flow through me. I was sold into a lie through sin, born into Adam, but now I'm born again. I'm back home. The Father's in me. He'll never bring up my fault or failure or weakness. He'll keep promoting my destiny, send me forward, and I'm going to live forever, and there ain't nothing nobody can do about it. And you think I believe that? I'm going to have people issues? He said, she said, well, I'm hurt. Well, I can't believe they did that. Not today, friend. And not tomorrow either. Tomorrow's not the right day.
I'm ready to do some dance moves, baby. I'm ready to
do it.
Come back, Dan. Come back. I can't dance at all. White man can't jump. White man can't dance. I don't know.
But I can be a son. I'm going to be the best. Since I can't dance, I'm going to be the best son I can be. But I wish I could dance. Man, that guy could dance. Get him to lay hands on me. A thing will hit me and I'll be just... Tracy's like, it's working. He's going to break loose. He's going to lose it, Dan. She's praying for me. Lose it, Dan. I'm not.
Nope, I'm going to pull this thing off. I'm starting to lose it. Are we okay or am I really messing up right now? Okay. Let's get back to the Word of God.
Jesus.
Jesus, there you are. I knew he was close. Only at Redemption House. It's the only place I could even possibly be on this borderline here. No. It's not going to work, Tracy. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It's the power of God that saves me. Why? Because I believe it. Now listen, because I believe it. Now this is where you come in. You've got to believe you have this destiny. No matter what it's been like, who did what and who didn't. You can't say, yeah, but you don't know what it was like growing up. Stop that. We're not talking about you growing up. We're talking about Christ and God creating you with image and value and purpose. We're not talking about your life as it was. We're talking about your life as it is in Christ. Yeah, but you don't know what my best friend just did to me. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. You say, yeah, but you don't know what my dad did to me. You don't know what Uncle Freddie did to me, or Joe. No offense, Freddie. You don't know. You see what I'm saying? You can't go there because you're letting that decide you and justify you and keep you from this truth. You're guaranteeing tomorrow will be yesterday. And there's no way anybody can help you until you change the way you think. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's unto my salvation for those that... That's where you come in. You got to believe this thing, son. You got to believe you're worth every drop of the blood of Jesus. Amen? Serious, man. Don't get nervous. Don't squirm on me. It's all right. Coming after you a little. It's all right. That's why you feel emotional. Jesus loves you that much, man. Don't let nothing harden your heart. Don't you get angry. Don't you let things get... I feel like something's trying to get you angry and stuff. Stop that, man. It's a lie. You weren't made for that. You're made for love. Amen? I'm not picking on you. I'm just helping you. I'm purposing to help you with something. Not because I'm correcting you, because you're worthy. Amen. Ugh. Jesus is amazing, guys. The gospel saves you. Why? Because you believe it. If you don't believe it, you won't experience the salvation. If you keep questioning your value, you won't experience the salvation. If you keep questioning His love, you won't experience the salvation. If you keep questioning your worth, you won't experience the salvation. If you identify more with your ability to fail than His ability to make you righteous and keep you and show you truth and help you with grace and teach you by the Holy Spirit, you'll just cycle and you'll live condemned. But here's the thing.
If you were so messed up and so wicked, why would you care? You couldn't even care if you didn't have purity inside of you. The devil would have no ability to condemn you if you were as lost as you were tempted to believe. Did anybody ever come to you crying over something they just did and they wish they didn't do it and they're broken?
Yeah.
And then they feel like the bottom of the barrel in that moment. Yeah. And what you need to uphold in them is the fact that they care so much because they used to do that thing and never even blink an eye. And now they're broken. That means they're changing. Yeah. That means God's doing a work in them.
Yeah.
And what you ought to do is look at them and say, man, I'm excited to see how the gospel's been purifying you. And they go, pure? Didn't you hear what I just said I did? Well, I heard what you said you did. But I see who you are. And I see who God's making you to be. And if the biggest trap is if you let what you just did define who you are, it's going to stop all the grace that's been working in you and you'll just keep producing this thing. But if you'll start realizing God's changing you on the inside, the outside's about to be clean. Let's look to Him. Let's talk about this. But man, you are so loved by God. That doesn't empower sin. That takes away sin. I didn't find a way to be free and get away with sin. And to be loved and live the gospel and get away with sin. I found a way to be free from sin. That's why what she said, why is that so important? That's a great question. He was made to be sin so that I could become righteous in the sight of God. So what am I supposed to identify with? My ability to fail or His ability to see me righteous through Jesus Christ and through His love and perfect that thing in me so that I start living in agreement with that truth and righteousness starts producing holiness in my life without me biting my lip trying to be holy. Look, if I wake up and think like a son and believe I'm a son, guess what I'll start living like? And if I don't live like a son, guess what I'll be aware of? That's not like a son. That's not what I'm created for. God, You called me to something more than this. And I thank You, Your grace is able. And all of a sudden, you step out of darkness into light. Out of that place of bondage into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Why? You get your conscience real sensitive. You get your heart real open to Him. You got the face unveiled. You've been made one. You're married. There's no turning around. You get it? Come on. So the power of God that saves me is the fact that God sees me as if I've never sinned. The righteousness of God means God seeing you without any guilt, condemnation, or shame. The Bible says in Romans 4, the end of chapter Romans 4, it says you've been justified through His resurrection. You know what justified means? Just as if you've never sinned. You're vindicated. You're clear. You're not judged for what you did wrong. You're judged for what He did right. You've got to start where He finished or you'll never run well. You've got to let your identity be settled in His finished work so the gospel power comes through those that believe it. Not that need it, that believe it. So all of a sudden, that's where you hear Todd and me say all the time, the blood's enough. The blood's enough. The blood says it all. It speaks better things. I'm not judged or marked by my failure. I'm judged and marked by what He accomplished. And I'm forever His and I'm going to live forever in Him, period. No fear of death, no worry, no strain, no stress. Jesus is my King. I'm never going to die, guys. You can tell me I have cancer and I got 6 months. You're wrong. You're talking about this earth suit. You're talking about something else. I'm not going to buy into that anyway. I'm not going to fall. Right? We're going to fight that thing because I want to live a long time anyway. I'm actually having fun on the earth. I'm not ready to go. In fact, I tell people I'm living a long time. It gets some people frustrated. They think like you're being arrogant when you say that. It's a promise to me. Read Psalms 91. I'm keeping my heart pure. I'm keeping it clean from things in that. I'm not, and it's not works. That's just me keeping my conscience clear. If my heart doesn't condemn me, I have confidence before God. Whatever I ask, I shall receive it. It's just easy for me. He's going to show me His salvation. He knows my name. He's going to, with long life, He's going to satisfy me. You see my hair? This is not age. This is wisdom. I'm 53. So some of you folks that are young and in your 20s, when you're 53, when you're 18 right now and you're 53, you better look around because you're going to see me somewhere. Because I ain't going nowhere quick. I'm going to be here a long time. I ain't trying to escape. I ain't, oh, Jesus, come get me off this wicked earth. Come on, get a higher standard of Christianity than that. Great escape. Come rescue me, Lord. Of course we hope for his appearing. In other words, we'll receive him when he comes and we'll be found ready. But we're not crying to get out of here because we just watched the world news. Lord, it's getting dark out there. I don't know why you don't come. He's not coming because there's people not ready. See, when you just want to get out of here, what you're saying is to heaven with me, to hell with everybody else. I've had enough. And that's totally selfish. And you better reevaluate your heart. So for in the gospel, righteousness is revealed and the just shall live by faith. So the reason I'm camping here so long is I'm trying to get to Romans 6 and get later than last night. No, we got all kind of sessions tomorrow. I'm going to pick up at Romans 6 tomorrow, but I'm going to close with this. I took all this time on Romans 1 because here's what's so important about what I'm saying. As good a news as it is, it takes you and me believing it. Because if you don't believe this, you're believing something. Be real with me.
Amen.
If you don't believe the good news, you're believing some news.
So good.
Come on. So let me just stir your heart a little. Be a good steward of your own heart. Be a good steward of what God's entrusting you with through his word. Because if you're not believing this, you're believing something. I said way long time ago, if what you're believing isn't stirring you up and encouraging you, it can't be from the Lord. Because he's life-giving. You guys good? So here's what we got to do. We got to believe that we have destiny and purpose, and God is willing to look past everything we've ever done and anywhere we've ever been through the blood of his son because of where Jesus has been and what he's done so that he can restore us back to why he made us in the first place. I want to step into agreement with that, and I want to receive grace to walk that out. And I'm not going to let anything change my mind, hell or high water, even my own weakness and some stumbling. But I'm not going to just take it for granted. Well, God knows my heart. No. If it violates my conscience, if I realize it's not the Christian life, then I'm going to get alone with God and I'm going to say, hey, this ain't cool. I don't like seeing this in my life. I separate from it, and I'm declaring to you, you didn't make me this way. I was trained this way. I was taught this way. But you're teaching me now, God. And I thank you. You're crushing this thing because I don't ever want it in my life again. And I thank you, God, for making me strong in you. You know what the Bible says in James chapter 3? Verse 13, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? It's really what it's saying is, who knows what they're talking about? Let them prove by the conduct of their life that their works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Watch. But if you have bitter envy or self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. What he's saying is don't appear to be something you know you're not. If you see selfishness in you, deal with it before God. Slay that thing. Kill that thing. Get a grip on that thing so that you can walk out this truth. It says, if you have selfishness in your heart, don't boast and lie against the truth. In other words, don't just act like, hey, everybody got their issues. God understands. Ain't going to hurt nobody. Everybody's a little selfish, you know. That's not what the Bible says. If you know it's there, don't boast and lie against the truth. Get that thing out of you. Why? This wisdom, being self-centered, did not come from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. Where envy and self-seeking are, every evil work is present. Now watch this. You're frustrated. You're mad. You have a relationship. You have a marriage. You're hurt by your spouse. You've left it creep in. You're in your bedroom. Watch the paradox. And you're like, you foul devil. And you're hurt. You're mad. You know, you're saying you want your marriage restored, but you feel like you want to smack down your spouse. And you're like, God, why do you let them do that to me? God, I'm so hurting. God, I can't believe they got to always do that. God, you need to change them. Oh, you foul devil, I bind you. I rebuke you. I break you off the soul of my spouse. The whole time you're praying that, rebuking him, you're inviting him through your motive. And he's just sitting there laughing because you don't understand the gospel. You're just another hurting spouse that goes to church. Oh, that was tight right there. Come on, I'm just being real. Is that too harsh? I mean, come on. If there's selfishness there, every evil work is present. So you're binding darkness. Intercessors, they think warfare is binding the devil. Warfare is speaking the truth in the face of every lie and proclaiming and prophesying over your community. It's not breaking down and binding and yelling at devils, because then you leave the prayer place and you get mad at somebody, or you talk to Sister So-and-so that you just rebuked the devil with about Sister So-and-so, and he's right there laughing saying, "You don't get it, girls." But you intercessors, the greatest intercession on the planet is love. There's like a song out there years ago, "You Can't Touch That" or something like that. He was talking about love, whether you knew it or not. The greatest form of intercession is the love of God. Come on, man. Where there's envy and self-seeking, there's ever evil work present. My wife prayed for me for 13 years to change, because I wasn't a loving husband. She gave up on me and gave up on God. Because 13 years seemed long. Her rationale said, "I'm done with this man. I ain't putting up with it anymore. I didn't want to be divorced like others in my family, but I can't take it, and it's just going to be this way." And you told me she went like that. And you, listen to the rationale. And you, I prayed for 13 years, and you haven't changed this man a bit. You let me and these kids suffer through hell with this man and didn't change him for 13 years. I prayed and prayed in vain, and you sat there and didn't do a thing. So I don't need you either. She turned and walked in delusion the other way. Makes a great talk show. It sure makes sense to hurting people. People that have hurt understand people that hurt, but they can never help them. You can't minister to anybody if you relate to how they feel. Your job is not to relate to them. Your job is to preach them the heart of God. Not to say, "Oh, honey, I can't believe they did that to you. No wonder you're so hurting. Honey, let me pray." And you call that ministry? Holy Spirit is not ministering anything. You're enabling them to remain the same. No, you might have to weep with them and say, "Look, I'm sorry they did that. And I realize this is trying to devastate and hurt your heart. But precious, I want to tell you, you're a whole lot more than that thing they just did. And your life isn't hinged on that one action as much as you think it is. I'm telling you right now, the love of God is this." And da-da-da-da. All of a sudden you speak truth into them and strength into them and get their eyes off the self-sorrow and the self-pity and what they did to me. Could you imagine Jesus heading to the cross with that? "I can't believe they're hitting me like this, God. Barabbas, are you kidding me? What an insult. He kills a man, I bring life, they kill me. Duh. He stirs up strife, I make peace, and they're putting me on the cross? Duh. In fact, God, the more I think about this, I hate doing it. Bunch of knuckleheads. Look, if they were going to change, they'd have changed by now. And I'm just done. Didn't I do enough? How many people did I heal? Come on, I fed their thousands. Look, I've been thinking about this, God. And this just ain't right. And I ain't getting treated fair. I ain't getting a fair shake at all. And I'll be doggone if I'm getting up on that cross and dying for these bunch of losers when they don't appreciate a thing I've done." Did you ever feel like that and think like that? You know why? Your image was changed through sin. His image never changed. You never saw him like that. He never made you like that. You became like that through sin. So let's get born again. And let's get that wisdom out of our lives so the wisdom from above can be our light. Boy, I'm preaching so solid. I feel it, man. I'm going to talk a lot more. This is the Freedom Fest. I'm going to talk a lot about freedom from sin tomorrow. A lot about how that's true and how we walk in it. Okay? And it won't. A lot of preachers are afraid to talk about this stuff because they think we're preaching some cheap grace and that we're enabling people to stay the same. You have never heard me come down to this house and preach a gospel that allows you to stay the same. It calls you to change. It's a serious, sober message, but it's full of grace and good news. And why wouldn't I want this thing? It gets me free from me. I can be free from you, and I can follow him. Amen?
Amen.
You guys get something tonight?
Amen. Yes.
Listen, I just want to, in closing, I'm not going to do any altar ministry stuff right now, but I want to, if somebody can help me with just some keys, some notes, and just something sweet, yeah, that would be great. Because I want to do something. I want to make a point before we close as he's going up there to help us. And you can just jump in whenever you're ready, man. You and me and the Holy Ghost, it's enough. It'll be all right. No, this is what I want. In all seriousness, I want you to respond from your heart some way before you walk out of here to God the Father. And I really want you to just find your own space for a little. You can stay right where you're at. You don't have to run anywhere. If you want to, you can. But don't be distracted. Don't look around. Don't talk to anybody. Just for a moment, I want some of us to focus on the fact that we need to, once and for all, just believe he really does love me or he'd have never sent his son. Some of us need to believe that he has forgiven me of everything I've ever done. And before we walk out of here tonight, I want you to begin to believe the good news and release your faith in how he sees you through his son so you can leave here and start walking in a grace that empowers you to bear the fruit of that truth. Are you guys with me?
Amen.
I want you to know you're forgiven. You're clean. You're holy. You're blameless and above reproach. If indeed you continue to believe and aren't moved away from the hope in which you heard. Come on, I brought you hope tonight. I preached a truth that changes men. So some of you, I hear this in my heart. Some of you, it's time to stop wrestling with your worth and value based on your inconsistency. You've been inconsistent. You feel like you've been inconsistent. And you don't understand that the reason that means so much and bothers you, and the only way you know how to handle it is you get discouraged and just say whatever. But whatever's not working for you because that's hurting your heart down inside. It's condemning you. You feel like you're way behind and you just feel a lot of stuff. Now watch, you wouldn't feel any of that if you were lost inside. If you were lost, you wouldn't care. The reason you care is you're not lost. You're alive. Are you following me?
Yeah, amen.
So there's some folks, you feel like you just can't get it right. You've been cycling, you've been this, you've been that. So you're allowing that to determine your worth, and you're determining that. You're letting that determine how God sees you. But God sees you for destiny. God sees you for what he did through his son. So what it's imperative to do right now in this atmosphere is for you to make peace with God in your heart and accept his love, his mercy, and forgiveness. And it might be important for a few people to say out of your heart to God, you know what? I've been believing I'm a loser. I've been believing I'm a helpless, hopeless case. I've been believing I'll never change. I've been believing I'll never get it right. I've been believing here we go again. But I'm done believing that, Lord. And then this little voice will say, oh yeah, so this is the 1,432nd time you've said that. No, you're saying it in light of truth. You're saying it in the presence of God with understanding, not because you're desperate, not because you're struggling, not because you're condemned, because you're called. The reason you're saying it is because you realize you have value tonight. That the reason God sent his son isn't because you were a worthless sinner, it's because you were created to be his. God didn't send his son because of your sin, he sent his son because of your value. He wanted to redeem the truth about you. So give your heart to that right now. I'm telling you, there's a handful of folks you've been cycling. And some people around you don't even realize what's going on because you've been just saying you're okay. But down in your heart, you're hurting and you feel unworthy. Don't boast and lie against the truth. Just say, God, I'm done with this. I'm done with this cycle. I'm done with this secret. I'm done with this lie. I'm done letting it buy me when I'm not for sale. I'm already bought with a price. And tonight, sitting here, I believe you love me. I just heard this phrase in my heart. I'm telling you, I heard it. I heard, yes, we can. We can do this, Lord. I'm going to start believing you like never before. Believe you're for me and not against me. You'll empower me. You change things. I'm getting my eyes off of people and keeping my eyes fixed on you. And when I do look at people, I believe you're going to help me see what you see. Some of you, if you feel like you're bound and addicted, just say, I disagree with addiction. I don't believe it's who I am. I don't believe it's what I have to be. Come on, talk like that out of your heart to God. I don't believe I have to be addicted to anything, just in love with you. So Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Thank you for coming inside of me and empowering me. Come on, it's very important right now for you to make contact with God. What an atmosphere. He's just up there strumming them strings. Truth has been preached. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for us who believe. I believe you, God. I believe you love me. I believe my life's worth living. I was just in service last week. A little girl had a note written out because her friend killed herself and said it's the only way to find peace. It's the only place to find rest. Just do it. And her friend killed herself, himself. So her and her friend were trying to find the courage to do the same thing. So for several nights, she put the gun on her temple and tried to muster up the strength to pull the trigger. And the only note she had written was what she wanted her casket to look like, because that was going to be her forever resting place. That was her only request. What a lie. And in a service like this, she just broke and cried and realized she's being deceived. She has a great value in life. Killing herself would be the cheapest way out. And it would actually cost her everything. So tell him you believe your life's worth living. Some of you, it's important to just say, Father, I believe you see me as if I've never sinned. So I'm done relating to it, thinking about it, and looking back. I say this in churches all the time. You're not Lot's wife, you're his wife. So why look back? You're his wife. Look up from whence came your help. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come in this place. I ask you to come and minister grace and peace to the heart of your people. I ask you to impart wisdom and grant understanding. I pray, Lord God, that where there was weakness, perpetual or continual weakness, you would translate it into strength. You would turn it into strength. That you, Lord God, would break lies, that truth would come and rescue hearts and understandings and mindsets and emotions. That's awesome. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come right now and bring freedom, the freedom of the finished work of Christ. Not the freedom of a feeling, not the freedom of a moment, not just a sense of release or relief, but the freedom of the finished work of Christ. How you see your people, how you see us individually. I ask it would come on every person in this house. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. I ask you to minister grace to every heart. God, I ask you to bring strength and understanding. Father, I'm also asking for healing just in the body, the physical body. I'm asking you to do things all through this room. I know some of us feel like I'm not healed because of this. I'm not healed because of that. Father, I ask that you just blow that out of the water. You just come and heal because you're good. Come and heal and let your goodness lead us to change. Father, get us out of works. Get us out of religious function. And come and just make things whole and new. Come and heal because you're good, Father. And let your goodness bring change to our hearts, our lives, and our actions. Father, and I pray this one last thing in this atmosphere, that no one would continue to live and be their own worst enemy. That we would be believers of the gospel. That not one person in this room would be their own worst enemy. Keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, in your holy name. Father, thank you for it. You know, you could think this is just a corporate thing we do, or it's just a churchy thing, but when I pray for healing like that, I rarely do that corporately on my own. But But I'm telling you, things are being healed right now in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Father, for the grace that heals. And I actually feel like some people that are being healed are people that feel like the reason they're sick is because of what they did and how they've been. And I hear like God in the light of this message is saying, not. My goodness is greater than how you feel. But it's His goodness that empowers you to change. So He's not healing you just so you say, oh, wow, I guess everything was okay. He's healing you to show you that in the midst of the things you knew weren't okay, He hasn't changed His view of you. And you don't work for a thing. You're saved by grace through faith. But that kind of goodness changes our lives. So, Father, thank you for your goodness and not your reprimand tonight. Thank you for healthy identity, not lies and deception. Thank you that every one of us has an amazing reason to keep growing and run well. I bless you, King Jesus. I pray for every person in this place. Thank you, God. Miss Sarah, I enjoyed talking to you. I just feel drawn to you, and I'm just going to pray over you. Father, I thank you that Sarah walks in a place like she's dreamed of, like she's tried for, like she's wanted. I thank you you've kept her heart in a place of hunger, but let the struggle end tonight, and I thank you she will never weigh herself short or less than you see her. And I thank you that your amazing presence and the awareness of your presence will be upon her life like no time before. Holy Spirit, I welcome you and I ask you to come and encourage and bless and minister to Miss Sarah and make her so rock solid. Let her children grow to know you because of her. Let her children be safe because Mama's been kept safe. Let her light so shine that men rejoice in who you are. Thank you for an unmovable, unwavering, unshakable woman. And I thank you that in the many times where she believed things that weren't edifying or good or even demeaned herself in her own efforts, you have superseded those days. And I thank you, these days have come. The days of righteousness, of truth. I bless you in Jesus' holy name. Pastor David, I feel like I'm done. If you want to say anything or do anything, or Miss Tracy, I just feel like I'm done. I'll sit down so I don't mess up, but I'm not sure what to do.